book of the Thessalonians, the second letter of the Thessalonians, chapter 2. Chapter 2. And I'll read a particular passage or two here of this scripture and talk to you about it for a little while here this morning. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 13. The apostle here, Paul, is the author of the book. He says in verse 13 that we are bound to give thanks always to God for you. That is, his reference is to the brethren and sisters in Christ that make up the church at Thessalonica. We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle or our letter. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation or everlasting comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Now, this is what I want to talk to you about here this morning. I want to talk to you about hope. H-O-P-E. Said, which hath loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Hope. Now, there is a definition for that word that I like real well. And the definition of the word hope is that it's a feeling that what is wanted will happen. That's what hope is. Hope is a feeling that what is wanted will happen. Now, it's a common expression. All of us use hope to express something that we want. And everybody can say, I hope. He doesn't have to be educated or uneducated to find use of the expression in his conversation. I hope. Everybody can say, I hope. Nothing is more often said than the expression, I hope. I've heard and I've said myself, I hope it will be all right at last. I hope for the best. I hope I shall be a better man someday. That's my desire. I hope that my desire will be fulfilled, that I might be a credit to the human race some way or somehow. I hope that will come to pass. I hope all my family will get to heaven. I hope my wife and my boys and my grandchildren and my friends and those that I love, I hope that they'll finally at last get to heaven. They live on hoping. I do and you do. They grow old hoping. And they die at last. And I ask the question, how will they die hoping? They hope that when they die, that they are in heaven. But they are not. They are lost and undone forever and forever. They're lost in that world which is beyond the grave. They hoped, but it wasn't a good hope through grace. Everyone has a hope. When someone dies, there's always someone around to comfort the deceased's relatives, wife and children. And they'll generally say, well, don't worry or don't fret. He or she was a good man or a good woman. They had some faults, I suppose, but they really was no worse than the common, ordinary person. And they tend to give the kinsman some hope. But it's a false hope. It's not a good hope. If all that a man's got in this life, that he hopes he'll go to heaven when he dies, if that's the only hope he's got, he hadn't got much hope. There's got to be more to it than that kind of a hope. So I conclude, or as I thought about this and tried to make something out of it, and I hope I have, I concluded that this subject of hope is of great importance, because here in the book of Romans it says that we are saved by hope. Romans chapter 8, I think it is, verse number 4. I want to read it to you. Or at least I thought that's where it was. Verse 24. All right, thank you. It says in verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. That's what Paul tells these Romans. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? If he sees it, what does he hope for? Well, we're saved by hope. So if that's true, then let us make sure our hope is sound, that it's a sound hope. Let us make sure that it's a sound hope and that it's a good hope. So that brings up the question, what is a good hope? A good hope is a hope that a man can explain. Now, if you don't remember what I've said prior to this, I want you to remember this. Kind of lock it in your heart and in your mind that the definition of a good hope from the Scripture is that a good hope is a hope that a man can explain. Now, if you'll turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, I'll read you a Scripture here that will shed some light upon this. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Peter here says in verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear. So what I'm saying here is the definition of a good hope is a hope that a man can explain. What saith the Scriptures? The Scriptures says that you ought to be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for your hope. So a good hope is a hope that you can explain. It's a hope that you can tell out to others. It has a voice. It manifests itself, this good hope. So let us make sure our hope is sound, and that is, it's a good hope that we can explain. If your hope is sound, you must be able to give some account for it. You must give some reason for it. If your hope is sound and it's a good hope and you're saved by hope, then you're to give an answer to every man that asks you, what is your hope? You can explain your hope. I ask a man, well, are you a Christian man? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you a believer in God's Christ? What do you believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? Who is this man called Jesus? And you're silent and you can give no answer. It's because you have no reason. You have no good hope. Your hope is not sound. What is a good hope? A good hope is a hope that a man can explain if he has a good hope. Well, you must be able to show why, wherefore, and on what ground or on what basis and for what reason. Now, let no one misunderstand here this morning what I'm saying or trying to say. I do not say that deep learning and great knowledge are needful for salvation. It is possible, not only possible, but it's true, that a man might know 20 languages and have a vast amount of knowledge at his fingertips. He might even have the whole body of divinity by his side and yet be lost. Now, maybe many fine words can be upon a man's lips, but yet not a ounce of the grace of God in his heart. Now, if you'll turn over with me here to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and I'll read something here that will maybe shed some light on what I'm trying to say. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Listen to what it says. Thus far, I don't want to be misunderstood and say that a man has got to have great knowledge relative to salvation. He's got to know who God is and know who Christ is. He's got to know that. But here it says, in this 13th chapter, the apostle writing to these Corinthian people, he said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Now, charity means love. That's what it would be a better translation if it was just love there. But being these were English translators, when they translated the New Testament here from the Greek and the Latin, the word charity fitted their understanding better than the word love. So he says, if I speak with the languages of men and of angels, if I can speak like an angel and all the languages of men, and I have not charity, I have not love, he said, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. I'm nothing. Just a sounding brass. Just a thing that makes noise. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, he said, I'm nothing. Have all this, yet I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profits me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemingly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. Love never fails. But where there be prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Languages, and where there be knowledge, it shall pass away. We know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as I am also known. But now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity is the everlasting love of Almighty God that God has for His children, in that He so loved us. He so loved us that He chose us in Christ before the world ever was. He chose us in Christ. He put us in Christ. Now listen to me. He chose us in Christ. He put us in Christ. And He kept us where He put us, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sent the Lord Jesus Christ out of this everlasting charity, out of this everlasting love. He sent Him to come to this earth and become a man, and as a man accomplish redemption on behalf of those that He gave the Son, out of everlasting charity. So, if a man has a good hope, he can explain it. He can explain his hope. His hope is in Him who loved him and gave Himself for him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope in Christ. I hope in God. I do not hope in myself. I do not hope in my feelings. I do not hope in second-hand conversation. I hope in Christ alone, as my sin-bearer, one who stood in my place, one who bore the penalty due me against my sins, who hath pardoned me, hath forgiven me of all of my sins, sins of yesterday, sins of today, and sins of tomorrow. He took care of all of them, wiped the slate clean, and there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All the charges against me as a sinner has been laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid the full penalty that I owed against my sins, 16 ounces to the pound, not a pound more or a pound less. He paid all that I owe and clothed me in His spotless righteousness, and there I ever stand in Christ, where He is at the right hand of God, and stand there forever. That's explaining what a good hope is. If a man's got a good hope, he can explain it. I don't mean that he has to have a perfect understanding of the Greek. He has to have a perfect understanding of the Latin or the Hebrew. That's not what I'm talking about. He might be able to have all these things, speak all the languages, but if the love of God has not been shed abroad in his heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, then he is like a tinkling cymbal, a sounding brass. Nothing, the Scriptures say. Well, I could go on in that, but I won't. It's going to take up too much time. But there's thousands, multiplied thousands, who are members of Adam's race. They see no necessity of a clear knowledge, which I believe is absolutely essential to a saving hope. They seem to think that as long as a man goes to church on Sunday and has his children baptized, everything will be all right. But I believe that a man ought to know what he believes. Now, that may sound like it's difficult, but it's not. A man, if he believes anything, he ought to know something about it. He ought to be able to give a clear assessment, a definition of some sort or other. A man ought to know what he believes. A good hope is a hope that a man can explain. I believe that the requirement set up, that is the standard of requirement of the Scripture, demands that. Well, another thing about this hope is this. A good hope is a hope that is drawn from the Scripture. If a man has a good hope, he can explain it. And if he has a good hope, that hope comes from the Scripture. It doesn't come from feeling. It doesn't come from religious excitement. It comes from the Scriptures, which is the Word of God. This is, this Bible here is given by God. It's given to men by inspiration, that every word in the Bible is inspired by God. There is nothing in the Bible that is not inspired, that is, comes from the mind and the hand and the tongue of God Almighty, and it's written here as our, for our profit and for the exercise of our growth and so forth, and every hope that is a good hope must come from the Bible. It can't come from my limited capacity. I cannot give life to any man. I can't give life to myself. Life must come from God Almighty, must come from His hand. And the revelation of who God is and what God is like, it is drawn from the Bible. Drawn from the Scriptures. It can't come from any place else. The Bible is the revelation of God unto man. So, if a man has a good hope, it must be drawn from the Scripture. Because most of men's hopes nowadays are imaginary hopes, things of the imagination. And if that's all that a man has is hopes, imaginary hopes, then his hope is built on sand. You remember our Lord said that there was two men. One built his house upon the rock, and one built his house upon the sand, and when the storms came, and the wind arose and blowed, the house that was built upon the sand fell down. But the man who built his house upon the rock is still there. So if you build your hopes on imaginary things, you're building on a hope that will not stand. It's a hope of sand. Oh, if hope is a sound hope, a man ought to be able to turn to the Bible for the source of it. He ought to be able, if he's got a good hope and he can explain his hope, then he ought to be able to come to the Bible and find a text, or find a passage of Scripture, or a series of Scriptures, or a chapter of Scriptures as the source of his hope. Our hope and our confidence must arise from something that God has said in the Bible. Something that God has said Himself in the Bible Word of God, the revelation of God to man. So, hope and confidence must arise from something that God has said in the Bible and that our heart has received and believed. Now, just let me give you one thing here. It says, when we were without strength, Christ died for us. That's the revelation of the Bible as to what the Lord Jesus Christ did for believing sinners. That He died for us. He rose again for us. He ever lives for us. So you can go to the Word of God, to the Bible, for the source of your reason. The reason I believe that I'm saved by the grace of God, our Lord Jesus Christ says that salvation is by grace. It says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to His mercy hath He saved us. So if it's a sound hope, it can be explained. If it's a sound hope, it must be drawn from the Scriptures, not from imaginary thoughts and experiences and wild dreams that we might have. It's not enough now to have a good feeling about the state of your soul. That's not enough. That does not answer the requirements of a good hope. You may feel good and die tomorrow. You can't trust in your feelings. So, it's not enough to have good feelings about the state of your soul. You may flatter yourself. You may flatter yourself and say, well, all is right with me. I believe I'm going to heaven if I die tomorrow. And yet there's nothing to show for the reason. You may think that and say that and convince yourself of it, but you have no reason for what you say and what you believe unless it's drawn from the Bible, unless it comes from the Word of God. And you can believe the Word of God because one thing about God is that I know for sure that God is immutable. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and He does not change, and He does not lie. And if God says that He gives this poor sinner who believes His testimony, the testimony of God concerning His Son, if He says, I give unto that sinner eternal life, then you can bet on it. You can take that to the bank. God won't lie. If He gives you eternal life, you have eternal life, He'll never take it back. He won't change His mind. He won't be discouraged at what you do or what you don't do and say, well, I'll just pull that away from it. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, see, you've got to have a reason, and the reason is Christ. Well, listen. The heart, you can't trust in your heart. The Bible says there in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 17 and 9, it says that the heart is deceitful and wicked and no man can know it. That is, this heart, this sinful heart of ours, this heart that we're born with, this nature of ours. Don't trust in your nature. Your nature is sinful. Your heart is sinful. That's the center of a man's being, spiritual being, is his heart. And it's deceitful. It will deceive him. It's wicked. And then over in the book of Proverbs, it says, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Listen to me. Good feelings without Scripture do not make up a good hope. I don't care how good you feel. You might feel good one day and bad the next. Then what are you going to do? Good feelings without the Scriptures do not make up a good hope. Can you show me nothing more than your vague expectations? I hope when I get old and ready for the grave that I'll go to heaven when I die. Give me your reason. why you're going to heaven when you die. Is it because you feel good? Is it because you haven't taken God's name in vain? Is it because your neighbors say you're such a good fella? That's not good enough. You've got to give me something that's drawn from the Scriptures. Well, that makes up a good hope. Can you show me nothing more than your vague expectations? Take more than that. And the third thing about a good hope is that it rests entirely on Jesus Christ. A good hope rests entirely upon Him. Beware of supposing that any hope is a good hope which is not founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. All other hopes are sinking sand. Don't build on those hopes. They're sinking sand. Church membership is no foundation of hope. You may belong or may belong to the best churches in the area, but yet never belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may go regularly every Sunday and hear the Orthodox clergymen and yet never hear the voice of the living God. If we have nothing better than that to rest upon, then church membership, we're in bad shape. But the biggest part of this world, at any given time or any given place, their hopes rest. Hopes of going to heaven when they die is they're a member of the church. Well, I joined the church. I've been baptized. You've got to have more hope than that. Because a good hope rests alone, entirely, on Christ and in Christ. Who Christ is and what Christ done in your behalf. The substitute. God only deals with you and I on the principle of substitution. God become a man. God deals with us on the account of the Lord Jesus Christ who become a man. He become a man. He had flesh and blood and bones. He is a man just like I'm a man. Apart from sin, he had no sin. The Lord Jesus Christ. Our salvation rests alone, entirely, absolutely on Him. Him and Him alone. Not me and Him. Not me and Jesus, our good friends. It's Jesus only. Well, listen. We may be washed in the waters of baptism, yet know nothing of the Word of life. Christ Himself is the only true foundation of a good hope. His work is perfect. From the time He was born as a baby in Bethlehem stable, from that time until He was taken by wicked hands and crucified, He lived in complete harmony, without sin, and everything that He did, every word that He spoke, every thought that He had, was without sin. He established on the behalf of the people that He represented, He established sinless perfection. And that sinless perfection is what clothes us as we stand before God. We're clothed in His righteousness. His work, the work of His person. His person, He was immaculate. His work was immaculate and perfect. All that He is, all that He's done is transferred from Him to the believer. And we appear before God as though we had never sinned, being in the Lord Jesus Christ. This business of a good hope rests entirely on Christ, not on you. Brother Joe here, we talked the other day, and I mentioned to him two things. I said, salvation is not dependent upon character or on conduct. I said that then with all the enthusiasm that arises in my soul. And I say it now. It's not about character, it's not about conduct, it's about Him. It's about trusting Him who provided everything that's necessary for the salvation of the soul. That's what the Word of God says, and that's God's testimony concerning Christ, that Christ is all. Trust Him. Lean on Him. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That's the good hope. Well, over in the book of 1 Peter, let me read this verse. I got to hurry here. 1 Peter, I think chapter 1, chapter 2. Chapter 1 of the book of 1 Peter, verse 6. Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scriptures. It's in the Scriptures. Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious, and he that believeth on Him shall not be confounded. He's the stone. He's the rock of ages. He's our hiding place, our high tower. Unto you therefore which believe, He's precious. All the And to them which be disobedient, that is, to those that don't believe the testimony of God concerning His Son, it says, to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, He said, is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word, being disappointed, whereon also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy. But now you have obtained mercy. Oh, listen. Another thing about this hope, a sound hope, is a hope that is felt. It's felt. Inwardly, in the heart. Look over here in the book of Romans, chapter 5. verse 5. Listen to what it says. It says, and hope, verse 5, chapter 5, hope maketh not ashamed. Why? Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. And then in the 12th chapter of the same book, the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, listen to this, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Can anyone say that a man can pass from death to life and not be conscious of it? I said this hope is felt in the inward man, in the heart. A good hope is a hope that is felt inwardly in the heart. And a man that has a good hope is conscious of it. If you have a good hope, a sound hope, a hope that you can explain, a hope that's drawn from the Scriptures, if you have this hope, then you're conscious of it. You felt it. And the love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. You found out who Christ was. You found out why He came. You found out what He did. You found out where He's at, and you found out what He's doing, and you're conscious of it. Your hope, your expectation is solely in Him. Well, listen. Can a man pass from death unto life and be forgiven and be pardoned of his sins, quickened, clothed in his righteousness, yet feel nothing of this mighty change? He doesn't feel that there's something different about him than this other fellow. Something happened to him that didn't happen to him. There's a change. Lazarus was dead. The friend of the Lord Jesus, the brother of Mary and Martha, they came to the Lord and said, your friend Lazarus is dead. And He said, let's go. And they went to the place where Lazarus was buried. And it was in a stone vaulting tomb. And they rolled a rock against it, I guess. And our Lord went there to the tomb. And He said, Lazarus, called him by name. He'd been dead for so many days that his sister said, there's no use. Said, corruption has set in. Said, he smells, he stinketh. Our Lord said, Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth. You mean to tell me that Lazarus didn't know that he was dead and now he's alive? This business of a good hope can be felt in the inward man. You know, you're saved. You're not. It's not presumption. It's something that took place. The love of God was shed abroad in your heart. Can a weary man lie down in bed and not feel rested after you've worked all day out in the hot sun, and you come home at night and lay down in your bed? Is it impossible for you to feel rested? No, sir. Your old body will take right to that bed. Can a parched, thirsty traveler in an African desert drink water and not feel refreshed? Absolutely not. Can a half-naked, hungry, homeless wanderer. In the streets, can he be clothed, fed, and housed, and not feel comforted? I believe, in every case, when a man is saved by the grace of God, something will befall. And that makes up a good hope. I can't believe that a man can be a true believer if he does not feel something inside. And so I say, beware of a hope that is not felt. The hope, or a good hope, is a hope also that is manifested in our lives. It is outwardly seen. It's not a silent hope, but it's a hope that speaks. A man that has a good hope will show it. He'll show it in all of his ways. He won't be perfect. He'll stumble and he'll fall, but he'll rise again. And the tenor of his life will go in one direction. It's like the Mississippi River. The Mississippi River starts way up there, and maybe in Minnesota or somewhere. I don't know, but I know one thing. It's flowing south. It's gone in one direction. And it winds up down there at New Orleans in the Gulf of Mexico. That great, the biggest river in the United States of America. It flows south. Goes in one direction. But on its course of going south, it will go west and it'll go east. And then it'll drop back and go south. And then it'll veer off. And go with. But the tenor of that river is going south. It's going in one direction. And a man who has experienced God's salvation in Christ, his life is going in one direction. He may fall. He may falter. He may be full of doubt and full of fear. But he'll rise and get back in the course. He won't fall fatally. He'll fall, but he'll rise again and go in that direction. And I'm telling you here that a good hope, a man that has a good hope, he'll show it in his character and in his conduct. All of his ways. He'll feel a constant obligation to serve and to be obedient to God in Christ. And he'll try to please him from whom all his hope come from. He'll try to do that. He'll say within himself, I'm bought with a price. The price was the blood of the Son of God. He bought me lock, stock, and barrel. He paid the full price. All that justice demanded, he rose again in my stead. He said, because I live, you live. And I feel that in my soul. And I want to do right. I don't always do right. I want to do right. I'm going in that direction. I fell a million times. And if I live a little longer, I'll fall some more. But bless God, I fall. His arms are underneath me. His everlasting arms cradle me and lift me back up, and I go again. Remember these things and I'll quit. Number one, a hope that a man can explain is a sound hope. This hope must be drawn from the Scriptures. Thirdly, this hope must be founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. And this hope that is a sound hope will be felt in your soul. And this hope, that is a sound hope, will be manifest in your life. That's a good hope. What is your hope? I hope in Him. I hope in His person. I hope in His word. He's forgiven me. I've been pardoned. I've been before the judge. And I've been judged. I've found guilty. Guilty as charged. For some reason in me, no reason in me. The reason's in Him. He said, I'm His substitute. I'm His Savior. All that's required, I'll supply. What God demands,